From the land of Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 20th day of September 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He's in Atchison, Kansas. We'll take a look at the weather forecast with Jim Angel from the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute. We'll discuss the agricultural cash grain markets with Ben Proust at the Andersons. He's in Everly, Iowa. And along the way, we'll get an update of all the agricultural news from Dave Dickey, your Director of Agricultural Programming, as we make our way through this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Learned Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Learned Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
In Chicago on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day lower. December contract in the wheat at 646 and a quarter for the soft red, down 10 and three quarters. March at 657, 10 and a half cents lower. And the May wheat at $6.62 and three quarters, down 10 and one quarter cents. December contract of next year at 673 and a quarter, down 8 and a half. Better pick up the July at 657 and a half. The harvest month was down 11. Harvest month in the hard red, by the way, at $6.89. 10 and a half cents lower. December corn futures at $4.51, down 8 and a half cents. The March at 4.63 and three quarters, 8 and a quarter lower. May at 4.72, down 8 and a quarter. July down 8 at 4.78 and three quarters. And September corn of next year, 7 and a half cents lower at $4.83 and a half. December contract 2014, $4.90 and three quarters, down 6 and three quarters. November beans, $13.15 and a quarter cents, down 24 and a quarter. January at $13.18, down 23 and a half. And the March soybeans on the day at $13 and a quarter, down 23 cents. May futures, $12.77 and a quarter, 24 and a half lower. July at $12.70 and a half, down 23 and a quarter. And next year's November at $11.71 and a half, 15 and a half cents lower. Bean meal futures off $8.20 at $413.40. Bean oil at $42.09, 62 cents lower on the day. Live cattle futures in the nearby contract at December, or rather October, at $125.95 were up 2.5. December gained 2.5 as well to settle at $129.75. September feeder cattle down a nickel at $157.10. October at $160.22.5, up 85 cents. November there at $160.75. 72 and a half cents higher for the November feeders. October lean hogs at $90 and a nickel, down $1.10. December it's $86.07, $1.22 and a half lower. This is Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures in the October at 104.67, that's down $1.72. The RBOB or October price of the wholesale gas at $2.68.08. That's 9-tenths of a cent lower. And ethanol futures at $1.86 and 2-tenths, a penny and 9-tenths lower. The difference between those two is now 82 and 6-tenths of a cent on the spread. That's a penny narrower than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $3.68 and 7-tenths, down 3 and 3-tenths. And diesel fuel at $3 and 6-tenths of a cent. That's 2-tenths of a cent higher on the afternoon. Gold futures finished $36.90 lower. And the U.S. dollar is up 0.06. trading at 80.43. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service in the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Skies will remain cloudy, and it is 72 degrees outside at this point. A little rainfall around the area, and don't forget that we'll talk in just a bit with Jim Angel, at the bottom of the half hour that is, about how much rain we had and what impact it might have had on the drought conditions that have developed in the Midwest. A 40% chance of showers for the rest of the afternoon at a cloudy and a 76-degree high. Tonight, a 30% chance of showers before 7 p.m., mostly cloudy. During the early evening, then gradually clearing off with a low of 53 on a northwest wind at 6 miles an hour. And tomorrow, sunny skies and 72 degrees. Saturday night, clear and 46. Sunny on Sunday and 71. Sunday night, clear and 47. Monday, sunny and 73. Clear on Monday evening and 51. And on Tuesday, sunny skies and 78 degrees. Tuesday night, mostly clear, 55. Wednesday, it'll start to warm up. Sunny and 80 degrees, partly cloudy on Wednesday night and 59. And Thursday, 82, with mostly sunny skies. More on the weather forecast again as we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey.
Studies and services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
It is the 20th day of September 2013. Remember, you can always find us online at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Let's check now what happened in the world of agricultural commodities. On the phone line with us from Atchison, Kansas, and Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting is Mike Zuzulo. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Hello there, Todd.
Did you get rain there last night?
We did. Had a nice storm and probably got about an inch and a half. Areas northeast of us got a lot more, and it looked like that we were probably slated to get over 2 inches, but the models didn't quite work out the way the actual rain fell. So, yeah, nice rain and probably slowed guys down here. Moisture levels are running a bit too high from what I'm picking up. But guys are getting a little bit itchy to get moving. It's going to be interesting to see how they handle the harvest around here with rains like we had last night, because it's so hilly. I know it drains fast, but it's got to be pretty difficult to be maneuvering around on the type of grades that they farm on out here in some of the fields.
And in my area, it's outside of the house, that is, we had 8 tenths last night. Will it make much difference in how much crop is there for beans?
I think it may on about 20%, Todd. I think that there's probably the higher ground, obviously, is burnt up, but the lower ground on the bottom of the hills has still got a fair amount of green and yellow leaves to it. So I would guess that it will fill the pot out some more, and that may make a difference on, 20% of the crop, and then maybe change about 20-25% of the yield on that 20-25%. So I think it'll move the dial a little bit out here, but not a lot. I mean, the whole thing about out here, I think, is getting into the fields and not having to worry about losing bushels, if the weather starts to turn on them. So,
did you make note of the Informa numbers for the day?
Yeah, I sure did. And, no big surprises there except for the 2014 bean acreage numbers. They came in with a 3.2 billion bushel bean production number for this current year. That is up, about 80 million, substantially higher than the USDA number. But I think the trade dealt with that and was expecting something like that. Informa also, I think, put out some corn estimates after the FSA data this week that were right around that 13.8 billion bushel number that they put out today again, and kind of reaffirmed that number again. I think the 2014 bean acreage number jumping above, I think it was around 82, 83 million acres is what they're looking at, if memory serves me right, that probably really took the market by more surprise than anything.
83.6, let's see. Yeah, so that was for the 2014 crop?
Year. And I think 77, 8 or something like that is the record high, I think, in bean plantings here in this country.
Yeah, so they're looking for a lot more beans next year. I suppose that could put pressure on and be the reason that November of next year has been under some pressure for a little bit.
That, and I think also one of the major fertilizer people in Argentina was talking about the strong push towards more bean acres and less wheat and corn acres down there, and how it's going to damage their fields in those areas that they continue to put more and more beans down year after year and don't rotate. And I think that, too, is something that the market's probably watching as well. Argentina, not as big of a concern maybe to the market right now because of their weather problems they continue to have. But if their weather would straighten out, that would just mean that the beans that got planted would be more ideal in terms of production potential.
Your view of the trend for corn maybe over the next month and then what happens afterwards?
I would have said before today we were in really good shape at this stage of the game, given that we are heading into harvest. In other words, normal harvest pressure, but that could be offset by a turn higher in the wheat market because that wheat demand's coming around. Today, and the way we dismantled the Dow Jones UBS Grain Index, Todd, I didn't really enjoy watching that. The 40-day moving average, we lost. The 200-week moving average, we lost in that index. The S&P, Goldman Sachs Ag Index did a similar thing. What I noted, and something that Chicago didn't really talk about today when I talked to them, But what I noted in particular was we saw a wide variety of agriculture commodities, ethanol, hogs, even coffee, and you know some of the fund-related commodities were all down between 1.2, 1.6, 1.8% on the session. Looked like a footprint of fund liquidation, and didn't like to see that. So I think it's going to be a rough ride next week, given that weekly close on that Dow Jones UBS Grain Index. Like we talked about in Belleville at the Wiffles meeting earlier this week, I think that that $4 cash level for corn is going to catch a lot of bearishness because that's going to be a level that I think is going to be stimulating even more demand. And that was the major bright spot of this week, as we saw demand pick up in corn, beans, and wheat. And I think that's one of the best weeks we've seen from an export standpoint and from a standpoint of some of the other extra demand that we were picking up in the wheat especially.
Early in the week, there was some hope that maybe we might be able to post an outside up week, and then hope that maybe on December contract we could post a hookup week. And just didn't happen, did it?
No, and I think this is where it comes back to those bigger, longer-term charts that continue to tempt you with flashing a buy signal, but they never follow through. They're the best indicator at this point to where we actually have a bottom in this market. And if we can't get those kind of commodity index charts to come in and flash buy signals when they're so depreciated and hanging around three-year lows, probably going to be hard to get anything stimulated until we do that.
So we're, what, here at 451, and if you go back, it looks to me like if you go back to August the 15th, on the daily chart, we were down there, roughly speaking. Do we have more downside pressure left and maybe hit that bottom back in, what, early August of $4.45 or something along those lines?
Yeah, that 445 and three-quarter level. Yeah, I think that's a logical place to go to unless the wheat wants to immediately turn back higher on Monday, and that's where the export inspections will be very, very important. And I think this is where it goes back to some of the monthly charts, and this is stepping back a little bit, following through with what we just talked about. Some of these monthly charts are getting extremely oversold at this pace. So I would guess, in 2009, we've talked about it before, September 21st was the major second low in December corn, and we rallied about 27% in the next month, month and a half in that market on a closing basis. And I think we're probably in that same model. And, yeah, some of the yields have been coming in better, and a good portion of the Eastern Corn Belt yields have been coming in better. And I think, sure, that's probably adding to the flavor that this is still a 2009-type market. But even in 2009, we found some support in the late September time period, and I would look for the same if we would really get combines rolling next week.
So kind of looking for a double bottom to happen next week in both the weekly and the monthly charts then, maybe?
Yeah, that's really what we're looking at, is the weekly and monthly charts are getting so oversold at this point they'll probably find a bottom. And keep in mind, historically, that wheat tends to make bottoms about 20 to 30 days before the corn does on a lead month continuation. So if we can nail a bottom in the wheat right now, then within 20 to 30 days I'll start projecting a corn low.
All right. Well, good. So you've got some time left for corn to go down then yet.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not going. It has to be based upon what harvest progress is and where we're at in harvest progress. I'm using the wheat harvest as a good model too. We really didn't find any daylight in the wheat throughout the first 50% of harvest. It just kept getting beat up and beat up and beat up because it grew, the crop grew, and the European crop grew, and the market sentiment got worse and worse. So I'm going to give it enough time to see the wheat bottom and then give 20 to 30 days after that, and with that Dow Jones Grain Index being another major key, too.
Soybeans filled the gap, finally.
They did, and they didn't recover, and that was another disappointing feature. We had talked a week ago, and I said that you know we probably would start the week out weaker, we'd fill the gap, and then we'd probably turn around on demand, need-to-demand ration. We did not see that, so it really leaves you hung up there as far as the technicals go. And here again, we really can't slip any more than we have because this 310, 315 level is pretty important support here.
Anything else to add before I let you go?
Cattle on feed numbers came
out,
89% placed. That's the lowest for the month of August since the report began. We probably are going to set ourselves up for a test of that August high in the October feeders of 161.35. So that'll be an important number to be watching if we go through it. You don't need to hedge anything, but if we don't go through it, we might have a top in the feeders coming.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Mm-hmm. That is Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report for a Friday afternoon. Don't forget to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. If you want to hear Mike again, you can always do it right there on our website. You can do it on the smartphone, too. Same website. Or you can try this one, m.willag.org. Or you can just dial 217-333-3434.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
Your Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey, is here now. He'll take us through the Ag News for this Friday afternoon.
In agricultural news, a new survey by the Iowa Realtors Land Institute shows that Iowa farmland values climbed only 1.2% on average since last March. Also released yesterday was a report by Rabobank Food and Agribusiness Research and Advisory Group that said looming higher interest rates could lead to a decline of 15 to 20% in farmland values in the U.S. Midwest. The Securities and Exchange Commission has charged a company in Evansville, Indiana, and several executives and suppliers for posing to investors as a legitimate biodiesel production business while concealing extensive illegal activity that accounted for 99% of its revenue. The SEC alleges that when Imperial Petroleum purchased Middletown, Indiana-based E-Biofuels LLC as a subsidiary in 2010, E-Biofuels owners falsely represented that they were producing renewable fuel from raw agricultural products such as soybean oil and chicken fat. E-Biofuels received significant government incentives based on its biodiesel production representations, but E-Biofuels actually used middlemen to buy finished biodiesel and portrayed those purchases in fake invoices as the raw feedstock needed to produce biodiesel. E-Biofuels later sold the purchased biodiesel for as high as double the price it paid for it. Darden Restaurant's fiscal first quarter earnings fell 37% as food, beverage, and labor costs continued to rise, and the company's biggest chain posted a significant drop in same-restaurant sales. Darden said it plans to cut its annual operating support spending by about $50 million through workforce reductions and program spending cuts. Same restaurant sales dropped 4% at Olive Garden, the company's biggest chain by revenue, and fell 5.2% at Red Lobster. For the period ending August 25th, Darden reported a profit of $70.2 million, or 53 cents a share, down from $110.8 million, or 85 cents a share a year earlier. Indonesia today lifted controls on imports of soybeans and decided to suspend a 5% import duty to tackle inflation and keep a check on rising food prices. Soybeans are used to make tofu a staple diet for millions of Indonesians. Indonesia, Southeast Asia's largest soybean importer, buys about 2 million metric tons of soybeans, or 70% of its annual demand, from the U.S. and South America each year. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks go, of course, to Dave Dickey for his daily look at the agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. You can find us online at willag.org. We are a production of Illinois Public Media.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Well, and it's Friday afternoon. Let's check in on the cash grain market. Ben Pruce is on the phone line from the Andersons Everly, Iowa facility. Good afternoon to you, Ben.
Hello, Todd.
Have farmers been shucking corn in your area?
Actually, we are doing a quick ship premium right now, and we're actually one of the first elevators around taking in some real new crop corn.
So what is your bid for the quick ship?
We're still 55 over the D's.
Oh.
506.
I suppose that has stimulated some combines to roll in here, I can imagine.
Compared to the 20 under it'll be here in 10 days, yes, it has.
Yeah, 75 cents makes a difference, doesn't it? So how much of that do they have to pay in drying costs then? Much?
We actually kind of doing a little drying special, just a penny a point to 25%. And, we have some lighter soils in this neck of the wood, and those guys, they're just... They're going as fast as they can go.
Now, I heard corn come in here from McLean County about 22%, but where are you at there?
We have seen moistures. The lowest we've taken in this week was 17, and the highest has been 31.
And the average on the whole lot?
The average on the whole lot's going to come in right at 25.
Oh, so that's not so bad. So a penny a point, and that's not too bad either. So there's a dime, right?
Yep.
Okay, so 65 cents over, and how many bushels are you think you're going to take in?
Well, it's between this week and next week, we're hoping for somewhere to about like 100,000 or so. So not a huge lot, but for sake of getting started and people getting their feet wet, it's a good place to be.
And ethanol plants in the area, I suspect, are really chomping at the bit. Are they bidding against you very much?
Yes. And I am waiting for the phone calls to tell me they'll pay me more, to be honest.
I bet you are.
I keep my phone charged.
Yeah, so when will the bulk of harvest, you think, start there for corn?
For the rest of the ground, we're easily two and a half weeks out, more like three.
Oh, you're a long way out. For beans?
We are. Beans are 2 weeks. We have some really, really green beans, and, these rains that keep coming through, I mean, they're helping us along here, but we're still an easy 2 weeks out yet.
Yeah, so the rains are good for the beans, maybe even a bit for the corn, although dry down has to happen. Are you concerned much about frost or freeze? You're pretty far north still.
We are, and actually tonight they're calling for upper 30s, but, as far as any real frost concerned, we need upper 20s and sustained.
For about 2 hours.
That's not there.
Okay. So you're probably safe, at least for this point, in the weather forecast that you see.
In the near
future. Yep. Everything, as I remember correctly, stays put pretty much because you've got, three or four ethanol plants in the area?
There's actually five right here in our six counties.
And so your expectations are that the yields are going to remain pretty good. And I didn't ask you about those. What do they look like?
Some of the yields. Now, granted, we're taking out some droughtier corn in this little premium here. But actually, yields, guys are coming in saying, it is actually 10 to 15 better bushel, better than I thought it was going to be.
Does that mean they're at 275 or 295 instead of 260? I mean, 195, right?
Right. Yeah. It's like I said, this is a lot of lighter ground that doesn't yield very well year in, year out. But from what they're expecting, I've heard a lot of guys say, four or five now say we're going to have the exact same crop we had last year.
All right. And what are your bids for the day?
We are 506 cash corn and 1345 cash beans.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Mm-hmm. Ben Pruce is with the Andersons. He joins us from their Everly, Iowa facility right here. On the closing market report, back in 2 minutes.
It's National Rum Punch Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1819, Seth Boynton was issued the first patent for manufacture of patent leather in the U.S. Boynton is also remembered for a host of other inventions, including a nail-making machine and a hybrid strawberry. In 1842, Sir James Dewar was born. a British chemist and physicist. He invented the Dewar flask, the original thermos bottle. His design incorporated a double-walled flask. He created a vacuum between two silvered layers of steel or glass. In 1859, George B. Simpson patented the electric range. He called his invention an electroheater. In 1878, Uptown Sinclair was born. His novel, The Jungle, was a detailed horror story about the conditions in the meatpacking industry of the time in Chicago. It led to extensive reforms. In 1888, David Marin was born, an American pathologist. His research on the treatment of goiters with iodine led to the iodizing of table salt. And in 1960, Ernest Goodpasture died, a research scientist. He used chick embryos in designing the first practical method for developing uncontaminated viruses, which made possible the mass production of vaccines for diseases such as smallpox and influenza. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Jim Angel is on the phone line from the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute, to take up the weather forecast for the weekend. But, Jim, let's start with some of the numbers that have been coming out from the National Weather Service and NOAA as it relates to drought, and then what kind of mitigation may have happened last night.
That's right. We look at the U.S. Drought Monitor for Illinois, it has gotten a little worse in the last week, and that's no surprise. We had continued dryness through much of this state, and they always use the data up through Tuesday morning when they draw the maps. So they had some expansion of drought into southern Illinois, or abnormally dry conditions, they should say, abnormally dry conditions, kind of south of I-70, kind of extended down in that part of south-central Illinois, some extension of what they call the severe drought up north of Galesburg, kind of in the Quad Cities area. But then we've had some rain since then. So we had some rain in the Cook County on Wednesday night. Of course, they don't grow too much corn in especially eastern Cook County. But then we got some rain last night over around Peoria. There's some pretty good line of storms over there. And even here in Champaign, we got some rain at our site at Champaign-Urbana. We got a quarter of an inch overnight, which just about doubled our monthly total for September. So at least a little bit of rain, and it's raining to the south of us as we speak.
Yeah, were there other areas locally that ended up with more? We have two tents, I know, showing on the gauge here at WILL, but I had eight tents in my gauge at home.
Yeah, there were some areas that got a little more out of the latest batch of rain, and probably the biggest numbers I saw were actually over by the Peoria area. There were some pretty good thunderstorms rolling through there last night right before I went to bed. So it's that was probably the part of the state that got the most rain. But even in our area, we got some places that got some sizable amounts, and like you said, the eight tenths and things like that. So it's it has varied a little bit, but now it's more widespread, just kind of slow, steady rain, mostly to the south of us, south of Champaign-Urbana at this point.
One event, of course, does not make a trend, and we're still dry.
That's right. We're still dry. We have a long ways to go. We're short about 4 or 5 inches across much of the central part of the state in the last 2 months. You know, we had the wet spring, and we had the okay July, but August and September have been really dry, and so we have really quite a bit to catch up in those parts of the state. So, you know, we get a couple inches of rain. That'll probably make a big difference, but as far as recharging that soil moisture, and that's kind of what we'll expect in the next couple of weeks as it kind of starts to cool off and we get more of these systems coming through.
Thanks much, Jim.
You're welcome.
That's Jim Angel, and wraps up the Closing Market Report.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/FarmerView. Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.